Welcome to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson. Governor Andy Beshear is running an ad campaign of a young girl who was raped when she was 12 years old. She condemns Daniel Cameron because he's pro-life and defended Kentucky's restrictions on abortions in court. And it's an ad that's traumatic, it's painful to watch, it's heartbreaking, but it's getting a lot of attention across the state. But what about the child conceived in rape? Should they forfeit their life because of the circumstances of their conception? Should it be a choice left up to the mother? To hear a perspective that we often don't hear is a brave young woman from Hopkinsville named Brittany Bogard. Brittany has shared her story publicly about her mother being raped when she was 16. And Brittany was born when her mother was only 17. So, Brittany Bogard, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. I just want to thank you, first of all, for your courage and for sharing your story. I know it's hard. It's tough to talk about traumatic things in our past, traumatic things that have happened to family members and loved ones. And the reason why this is so important and compelling is because there is an ad that's also compelling of this young girl who now she's in her 20s. Her name is Hadley. She's from Owensboro. She has a very compelling story, and she's got pain in her life about being raped from a stepfather. And I'll just say at the outset, it's tough to even talk about this, but we've not heard a perspective like yours when it comes to this issue. And I just need to thank you for your courage and your willingness to share this. I got on your Facebook page, by the way, and looked at your recent post, which I was reading through it, and I thought, oh my goodness, you have been through the ringer. Even in the last couple of years, you've had a transformation in your life, some major changes in your life. So I guess the first question is this, Brittany, what led you to speak out publicly about how you were conceived in the situation with your mother, who was only 17 when she had you? What was it that prompted you to speak out on this?
Growing up, I was muffled, and so I wasn't allowed to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Well, when I started going through college, I was battling with being able to have relationships with inside of my environment. Mm-hmm. And so a professor suggested that I seek counseling, and mm-hmm. I started seeking counseling. And while going through therapy, my therapist suggested that I start writing stuff down. Yeah. And so I wrote my story down, and it made me feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
And then as that progressed, I actually started talking to some of my professors about it. And one of them just came to me and was like, you really need to write this down. Like, you need to write your story. And so the first one I wrote, I sent it to her, and she said, you need to send that to someone in the legislature. Mm-hmm. And so I did that. I think about almost 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it took about a year for me to go through counseling to be able to even discuss this.
Mm-hmm. So. And I just need to say at the outset, I'm going to try to be sensitive. And I know this is something that's affected you. I can't relate to what you've gone through. I can't relate to your story. And so I will try to be sensitive during this interview. The legislator that you finally did connect with is a mutual friend of ours, State Representative Nancy Tate, who's the chairwoman of the Pro-Life Caucus. And in full transparency, Nancy and I were on the phone just a few days ago, and we were both frustrated over attacks on Kentucky's pro-life gains, and especially with the non-response to the difficult cases, the rape, the incest, and we were both frustrated, and your name came up, and that's how we got connected. This ad, I want to go back to what Hadley, this girl who was raped, she said this: anyone who believes that there should be no exceptions for rape and incest could never understand what it's like to stand in my shoes. This is to you, Daniel Cameron, to tell a 12-year-old girl that she must have the baby of her stepfather who raped her is unthinkable. Now, I can empathize with that pain that she went through. Again, I can't relate to that story, But you have a different story. And on your Facebook post, Brittany, you said you thanked your mother for choosing life. You thanked just that your mother think of ending your life, which even as those words come out of my mouth, I can't comprehend. I don't have a reference point for that. But how do you respond to somebody who has been traumatized, a young girl who might have been raped, even by a stepfather, like this Hadley shared in her heartbreaking video? How would you respond?
I feel really sorry for her. I hate that that happened. Those type of acts are extremely traumatizing and can leave a forever impact on someone and anybody after that. So, you know, it's just like a generational curse. And so I don't really know, but I don't think that I have every right to be here.
Yeah.
I have I'm more important than you or him or anyone else.
One of the things that from scripture says that we're made in the image of God. Every human being is made in his image. That means that we all have equal dignity and value and intrinsic worth. And it really shouldn't matter on the circumstances of conception, should it? Because you were a life.
God knew us before we were formed.
I saw that you'd posted that on your Facebook page. But you did share a lot of scripture. So tell us a little bit about your faith journey. Did that have an impact in you coming out and speaking on this?
In transition of going to college and stuff, I had suffered some other things that kind of, I ended up in a office with a social worker before I started going to school. And he just told me, you know, he was like, you were 14 years old, you dropped out of school. You had a baby and the baby passed away. He was like, you know, you're uneducated. You've been in and out of the juvenile system. You've been just as involved for 18, 20 years. And he was like, your kids are going to be the same way. And it wasn't okay. Because it was really mean and hateful. But I knew that I had to take a stand for my children. And so that was one of those conversations that me and God had for like 2 hours. And I was really mad at him and yelling for a long time. But I promised God that I would do everything that I was supposed to for my children and me and to represent him and to be ambassador for him.
So that was a turning point in your life when you heard this social worker essentially condemn you to a life.
For being uneducated, yes. And just as involved.
And saying, essentially, you're a dead end and your kids are going to be a dead end.
Basically, that's what he said.
So after having this conversation with God and yelling a lot and venting, which, if we're honest, we, I'm sure, have the similar feelings in different situations. But then what did you do?
I went and stayed in my car and I cried for like 2 hours yelling at him. And while I was sitting in my car, a friend called me and said, hey, Goodwill has started this program for expungements. And I was like, oh, okay. And she was like, I sent you an email. So at that time, I didn't know what an expungement was, but I went ahead and signed up for it because it sounded good. And so then I got an email back and they were willing to accept me. And so right after that, you know, I read through what an expungement was. Right after that, I signed up for college and I've just flourish since. And so.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. There's a lot of confusion about the governor's race. There are denials about gender transitions of minors and allowing men on girls' sports teams. But at Commonwealth Policy Center, we cut through the smoke so that you can know what the candidates truly believe and what they would do if they were elected. That's why we've interviewed the candidates and put together voting resources to help you better understand who represents your values. It's important for Christians to go out and devote biblical values. Character matters in our leadership. Now, this isn't about partisanship or a political party. It's about the future of our Commonwealth, our children, our freedom, and it's all at stake. So plan to vote this year. For more information, go to CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org to find out more about the candidates, and then make sure you vote your values on Tuesday, November the 7th.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson here with Brittany Bogard, who was conceived in rape and in incest. Her mother was actually impregnated by a cousin, and a traumatic situation. And Brittany recently came out to share her story, which is rare for women to share a story like this because of the pain and the trauma. There's a lot of shame involved with that. You'd mentioned, I saw that you'd written that you had a destructive past. You were destructive to the community, and you're viewed as the black sheep of the community as well. But at this turning point, after you had this argument with God, shouting match with him, if you will, something changed. This expungement that you talked about, opportunity with Goodwill. What were some of the other steps? What happened after that?
Associate degrees from Hopkinsville Community College. I was on the board for KCTCS as a student representative. I'm on the board for Child Advocacy Center. I'm on the board for the Human Rights Commission, and I'm just very active within my community, and I'm the ambassador for Challenge House.
So wait a minute. You went from
nothing to something.
But a lot of pain. It's not even that, Brittany. It's just pain and brokenness and family trauma, where, yeah, you were nothing or less than nothing, as a social worker tried to tell you, to, and then somebody who is destructive to the community, to somebody who has gotten an education. You're currently a student at Murray State, and you've got a 4.0, I understand. Good on you. But now you're serving in various capacities on boards and commissions, and I think you're involved with the PTA at Martin Luther King in Hoptown. You volunteer a lot of your time to give back to the community. That's a radical change.
Well, I just want to be the person for other people that I needed growing up and the person that my mom needed.
Was there a point when somebody talked about faith, talked about spirituality and your need for a savior? Is that something that, was there a moment there that helped you to turn the light on, or that was the light turned on for you, if you will, where you started walking down a new path?
I actually, within my community, I had so many people seeing that I was trying to progress and be a better person. I can't even just take away from my community. My entire community just covered me with their wings and helped me with all of this. So, I mean, they all had something great to say. They all pushed me along.
That's amazing. And we are made for community. We're made, we're individuals, of course, but God puts us in communities. And when we're contributing to the community and helping to make it better, that blesses the community. I think you'd mentioned something about that too, that God made us to bless others, to serve others. And I agree with that. But also in your case, in Hopkinsville, and I lived in that area for 23 years, I'm very familiar. I've got a lot of friends in Hopkinsville. But when there's a small community, and when there's hurt and somebody that's on the wrong side of the law, somebody that makes bad decisions, often you do get labeled for the rest of your life. But your story is a little different.
Yeah, no, they, all of them, everyone, from the jailers to pastors to, I mean, the mayor, city council members, everyone.
They've opened their arms up, welcomed you in. I know on the Human Rights Commission that that's a mayoral appointment. Yeah. So the mayor trusted you enough to put you on a commission that influences policy and decisions when it comes to human rights issues in Hoptown. I think that's a great testimony to the Hopkinsville community, too, that you have a lot of people that were willing to forgive and to welcome you in.
And there's so many other people that they've done this with. So it's not like they just picked me. They are just a very supporting community.
One of the things that I am struck by is that when somebody has pain and trauma, just the circumstances like yours, and when there's, when you've had pain inflicted on you, I know that's part of your story too. But then to be able to move from that and to have a different story, to walk down a different path, that is a supernatural thing. It's something that Christ affords to us when we confess, repent, turn to Him. He gives us a new reference point by which we do life, a new way to look at life, a new way to interact with others, a new way to look at our community. No longer is it about me or how I've been wounded, but we can look at what Christ has done for us because He's been wounded for us. He's taken on our sins. He has given us a new life. He's given us hope in Him. He has given us a new path to walk. And I can't think of a more dramatic example of how you have walked on that path. You'd mentioned to me when we were talking on the phone, Brittany, the other day about how you have a couple of churches that have been your support and your encouragement. And tell us a little bit about that, your involvement with church. Well, yeah, with the churches and then with Challenge House in particular. Both are related.
So within the Challenge House, we have houses that are located in inner city neighborhoods, and we offer tutoring, GED, studying. I help people get signed up for Goodwill expungements, or I teach them how to do pardons. We do tea time where we've got single moms who sit around and kind of discuss about being a single parent. I do free haircuts. I mean, we just do everything. And so First Christian Church is kind of tied in with that. And they really support being able to host these events and sponsor them.
You also take kids from Challenge House to the church as well.
About 14 of them on Sundays.
You must have a big vehicle. You must got a van or something.
Yeah. We use what we can get.
Yeah. So Challenge House is a ministry I'm familiar with. They've been around for, seems like, 15 years or so, mm-hmm. maybe longer. And it's where there are house parents. They're actually a family that moves into a home in the inner city of Hopkinsville. And they bless the neighborhood, right? Mm-hmm. Kids that come home from school that might need help with homework come over to get help, or they might need a snack, mm-hmm. Or they might just need somebody to hang out and play. They have activities and games, and it's really an amazing ministry in Hopkinsville where you have families that move into a difficult neighborhood where there aren't a lot of parents or mother, father role models, and you're involved with that. That's great. How many Challenge Houses, by the way, are in Hopkinsville?
There are six, and then one being built.
That's amazing. And by the way, I just need to add a little side note here. This is something that government cannot do. As much as I work in the public policy and political arena, I want good leaders and I want good laws. But when you have parents, a family that moves into the inner city with the goal of mentoring kids, with the goal of helping kids, providing good role models to those kids that don't have role models. This is what changes the trajectory of a life and of a community,
Absolutely.
Something that government cannot do.
Absolutely. And another thing is we do have some really good parents, but they work in factories. So they're working 7 days a week, maybe 10 to 12 hours a day. And so it's not that they're not good parents. They got to provide for their household. And so I'm able to be there to help them what they can't do.
Yeah.
And so that's a blessing for me.
That's awesome.
And them too.
Yeah. Brittany, what are you studying right now at Murray State?
Social work.
What do you want to do?
I want to be a social worker. Okay. So I kind of want to be the person that I should have been sitting in front of that should have gave me different advice. And I want to be that for other people, because if one person has done that to me, I'm sure that they have done it to multiple people, and not everybody turns around like I do.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Yeah. That's a worthy goal, to taking your time and energy and turning it for the good. There are people who are in the system, so to speak, and they need a good word. They need encouragement. They need somebody that's not going to run them down like you unfortunately experienced. So when's your graduation date?
I have two this semester and then two more.
Okay.
If I go as planned.
So next fall sometime is when?
Hopefully.
Okay. That's awesome. So you mentioned on your post, there was somebody who deeply wronged you and hurt your children, and they happened upon you at the local Walmart, and you saw the person, and you didn't have warm fuzzies towards them, for lack of a better term, and they tried to get your attention, but you walked out, and you were angry at that person, but at some point after that, you heard a sermon on forgiveness. Tell us about that, if you don't mind. Is that okay to talk about that?
I can't remember the exact Bible passage that was used at church, but it happened. It was like that Friday, and then we went to church that Sunday, and then our pastor got up and was talking about forgiveness and, you know, to be kind to your neighbor, no matter how many times they offend you.
Yeah.
And if they offend you 77 times, you be kind 78. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was for me. Because I'm out here trying to be a better person and be a better role model, but I was no better than her for the things she'd done to me, than me just walking off.
That's a good word. And the reason I brought that up is because there's a lot of people who are hurt and wounded by others. And we live in a time where vengeance is celebrated. Like, you ought to get even. You ought to try to lay it down with that person, get even with them. And that's our natural fleshly tendency. If we've been hurt, we want to make sure we dish it back out.
Because we want other people to feel how we feel.
But the Christian response is, no, you forgive them. And this comes from the idea that Christ has forgiven us, and we've offended him to a greater degree than how others might have offended us. That's powerful, because in this day and age where there's anger, bitterness, this vengeance seeking, it's important that we have this attitude of forgiveness, that we should seek reconciliation. And Brittany, you have demonstrated that with your life, and I just want to thank you. You've been an example to me of making it through difficult circumstances and making it past a story that was very difficult, a lot of shame involved. I'd mentioned to you when we were talking the other day about the power of sharing stories. And I'm reading a book right now by Kurt Thompson. It's called The Anatomy of the Soul. And he's written another book called The Soul of Shame, another called The Soul of Desire. But one of the things that Kurt Thompson shares is that of the power of when we share those shameful things about us, or what we view as shameful. In your case, your upbringing, your mom's situation, you were conceived in rape and incest. And the enemy would like to keep us in that shame. He would like to hold that over us and guilt us and make us feel like we're nothing. But when we give our shame, particularly to God, when we ask him to carry our burdens, he really does relieve those burdens. He does carry our baggage, if you will. But when we share them, and I've experienced this in my own life, I've got some my own personal stories, but when we share our story and allow God to work through them so others can learn and so others might be encouraged, God can do amazing things with those. With our stories, can he?
Yeah. After I started sharing my story, I had women, and it was, I expected a different response. But I had women start calling me, telling me how they had had abortions and that they couldn't deal with it. And I didn't know how to deal with that, because I'd never done that, but I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do, but it's, sharing your story is helping other people. So where I was able to open up, other women who have not been able to talk to anybody for a long time was able to tell me and release that same pain that I released. And that's what it's all about.
You were that safe place for them. When they saw you step out in courage, sharing your story, you became a safe place. They could connect with you because you'd gone through some serious stuff. But they came up to you. Do you still have women coming up to you, sharing their trauma and their pain? There's this pervasive lie in our culture, Brittany, that says that if you're in a difficult situation, maybe find yourself pregnant, just have an abortion. That's the way out. What's your response to that?
It's easy killing the baby, but the fact that everything happened, it's still there. The impact is still there. The pain is still there. The hurt is still there. That never goes away.
The women that talk to you, is it where they've gone through an abortion recently, or is this something where it's been years ago?
Years ago.
And they're still carrying that baggage?
And they're still carrying it.
What would be your advice to a young girl who finds herself in a situation like that? Nowhere to turn. She's been told that having an abortion is the way out. What would you tell her?
I would tell her to seek proper counseling and pray about it. Yeah. Non-biased professional counseling.
Yeah.
Because you have to love yourself in order to love everything around you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're victimized, you usually tend not to love yourself.
How about somebody who is suffering? We got just a couple minutes here till we need to wrap it up. How about to the young person who's made a lot of bad decisions in their lives, maybe made a train wreck of their life and doesn't have a whole lot of hope? Maybe they're in bad surroundings. Maybe their family background is not healthy and dysfunctional. What would you tell that young person that just feels like there's no hope?
They are not a product of their environment. They can fight.
Yeah.
And that's it. Just fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never give up.
That's good. And your story is a testament to that. Brittany, is there any other final word that you'd like to share with the listeners?
I'm thankful that my mom picked me, even though it was rough for her. You know, she went through a lot of suffering as a child, and I'm glad that she chose me over that.
Brittany Bogard, God bless you. Thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. There's a lot of confusion about the governor's race. There are denials about gender transitions of minors and allowing men on girls' sports teams. But at Commonwealth Policy Center, we cut through the smoke so that you can know what the candidates truly believe and what they would do if they were elected. That's why we've interviewed the candidates and put together voting resources to help you better understand who represents your values. It's important for Christians to go out and devote biblical values. Character matters in our leadership. Now, this isn't about partisanship or a political party. It's about the future of our Commonwealth, our children, our freedom, and it's all at stake. So plan to vote this year. For more information, go to CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org to find out more about the candidates, and then make sure you vote your values on Tuesday, November the 7th.